I think I'm manic depressive. Hey guys, look, I know I'm so inconsistent with this, or inconsistency implies that you do something with regularity and then you stop every once in a while. I've just flat out stopped, and that's unacceptable. So I apologize to you guys if you stuck with me on this journey. I so appreciate you. It means a lot. And thank you, truly. It means a lot for people to listen to my stories, my life, my pain. Back at Forest Complex 88 Studios in upstate New York, somewhere, leave it at that, which means I'm in my car in the garage at my family's place. And that's okay. I am in betwixt, some gigs. That's the car. Hey, turn off, car. Yeah, when last we spoke, I was probably in L.A. I might have been back in New York. I don't remember the last one I did. Yeah, I was in L.A. I was working for eBay. I was making the big bucks, trying to be a hotshot. And I guess, I mean, I'll be all over the place for this one just because there's so much to catch up on. Yeah, you know, I got that job. It was a really well-paying job. And I always think that the way to solve problems is sort of like, you know, fake it till you make it. You know, project the image of what you want to be, live the lifestyle you want to be, regardless of what ailments or issues or hindrances you may have. You know, those will be absolved by you simply willing your positive vision into existence, and they'll be taken care of. That's not the real world. That's not the case. You know, there was a lot of great in L.A. You know, I always love seeing my buddy Brian. You know, I love the action of L.A. and the energy. But for sure, I was not the 25-year-old that I was when I first got there, the 23-year-old when I first got there. So to show up there and try to live and pursue things the same way as you had when you were that age is just crazy. You know, to be a 36-year-old who, you know, admittedly has his issues. And just be like, all right, well, I'm gonna live big and hit the mic every day and everything will be fine, is incorrect. So I'm back in New York dealing, you know, I had been dealing with some things, my ongoing issues that I've talked about on this podcast, which are increasingly multifaceted, but really all go to one core thing, which is depression and anxiety. And I think I've underestimated just how potent the somatic and physical manifestation of those diseases, anxiety and depression, are. You know, you can't will away depression and anxiety. You can't hope that if you just put on a happy face, you know, you can't just smile when the world is hurting. Smile when your heart is... I don't know how the song goes, but from the Joker. Yeah, you got to deal with your problems. Then you go do the things you want to do. So, you know, going to LA and, you know, paying $2,300 a month for an apartment and, you know, not having a car, then having a swell of bills from many years before, you know, it choked me out. And I wasn't able to then do the things, taking care of my body, getting the mental health, physical, you know, medical stuff taken care of. I couldn't do both. So I came home to do those things. I've been swimming a lot, and it's been fucking fantastic. This isn't all boo-hoo and woe is me. I think I'm going through third puberty, it feels like. I'd been seeing this myofascial release specialist, physical therapist in the city, who really fucking unlocked some shit for me. You know, I wasn't able to like turn my neck from left to right fully because of the restrictions I have in the muscles there. And working with her, like one session, I was able to do that, which is crazy. I've really not been able to do that. But that inspired me and it gave me confidence. And I was like, hey, you think I can like get in a pool and like start to splash around? Which I'm sure to some of you listening sounds crazy. Like, it's not because I don't know how to swim. I know how to swim very well. But when you spend years in unhealthy patterns of repetition and not moving, living a sedentary lifestyle compounded with, you know, anxiety and depression, your muscles just forget how to move. So, you know, I think most people who have like real jobs and real lives, and I would argue that I don't have either of those, it's hard for them to understand, but literally, like, I didn't have to do anything. I could just be sad and collect my check and sit in bed all day. And over the course of years, that fucking locks you up. So that's why myofascial release is so effective for me specifically, because it kind of gets to releasing those chronic restrictions. So anyway, I've been swimming. I'm not doing full laps yet because, again, like, my shoulder's still kind of fucked up. But I've been, like, doing – basically, I'm doing, like, kung fu underwater. And, like, I run from one side of the pool to the other underwater. I do, like, you know, chest opener, like, flies, like, open my chest and close. And really, it's just been, it's been great. And I've been adding to the successes physically there. So, very encouraging. Had some other shit I've been dealing with. I've been, you know, these swallowing issues. Like, I haven't been able to, like, eat food normally because of, like, it's called, like, EOE. It's called, like, eosinophilitis esophagitis, some just like another bullshit syndrome in your 30s that, like, no one tells you about when you're in your 20s or warns you about. It's just like you just develop bullshit. So basically, I had a stricture in my esophagus, which, like, narrowed the pipe, so food was getting stuck, or it felt like food was getting stuck, and it made me not eat, and I lost 20 pounds. So been working on that, taking some medication slash adjusting my diet, trying to bulk back up. Has ruined a lot of my social life because I don't go out to dinner anymore because of that, because it's uncomfortable to eat with other people. But yeah, hey, guys, this is what the podcast is, brutal honesty. But in facing it and in addressing it, you can move through it. I was driving back from this country club that, it's a state park that has like a bar and grill, but, and you can golf there. I wouldn't call it a country club. But I was driving back and I was remembering my days of Aikido, which is a martial art I used to practice, which involves, you know, taking your opponent's energy and redirecting it. It's a very defensive martial art. And I remember saying out loud driving, because I was feeling good. I had a beer, 77 degrees, kind of humid out with a nice breeze. And I was just cruising, listening to Crockett's theme, and it felt good. And I said to myself, fuck, what the fuck did I say? we meet the energy, we don't fight it. And that's really what I'm about, what I'm remembering, because Aikido is both a physical martial art and a psychological and spiritual one, where it's like, when you have a challenge, you don't try to overcome it, you don't try to grab it and beat it. And, I mean, you can, and there are some people, you know, you got all those MMA, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I'm gonna be stronger than everyone, and it's like, okay, but eventually you're going to meet someone who's stronger than you. But with Aikido, again, speaking spiritually and physically, you don't try to overcome your opponent. You'll lose that way every time. You just meet their energy and you wait for them, and then you twist your hips or you redirect their energy, and that's how you win. So I use that as a metaphor for what I was feeling in LA, where I was like, I'm going to beat my depression. I'm going to beat the fact that I can't eat food. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to kick it. And really, you know, those things weren't going anywhere. They're like, okay, well, we're stronger than you right now. So being home has reminded me that you have to kind of really be honest with where you're at and not try to fight your problems, but meet them where they are, confront them, and acknowledge them. And once you've done that, then you can pivot, move the hips, take its balance, you know, push the wrists down on the pressure point, and kick your ailment's ass. So yeah, so again, I'm making some progress here, guys, making a little progress. Personal life is in shambles. I don't have friends anymore, you know, or rather, my friends are not around me. You know, Brian is really the only real friend, male friend, that I have, and that's okay. It's like, you know, the male friends that aren't in my life, they're not in my life for good reason, I feel. But it does suck when your buddies kind of, you know, aren't as available as they once were. But it's also like, you know, when you're in your mid 30s and your late 30s, you know, some of that companionship that you're looking for, you know, from a lady, you know, it's not about just like drinking with your buddies all night, every night. I don't, for me anyway, I mean, that's totally fine if that's what you're doing. And I would still do that if the boys were still around, but they're not. So I've looked at my romantic dalliances more carefully. And I am less inclined to, you know, if I'm speaking to a woman, it's because there's something about them I very much care about. It's not just the sexual component for me anymore, you know? So I reflect on that a lot. And I still think about that girl that I've mentioned on this podcast, you know, that I'd been seeing on and off for many years. And, you know, just, you know, she sent me an email. I'm done. I'm in my 30s. My biological clock is ticking and I need a baby and a husband and a mortgage because that's what adults do. Somebody's bitter, Duval. Yes, I am. Because people give up on love and they trade it in for fucking compatibility and pragmatism, which is so fucking boring. Is that what you want at the end of your life?
I had a very pragmatic relationship. Now existence is over. Like I'm in a fucking home-built submarine at the bottom of the ocean. Whoosh.
Yeah. So I know I'm fucking filled with love now, but I have no one to give it to, which is very interesting because when I did have women I could provide love to, I didn't have love in me, you know. You know, when I was seeing that girl, Natasha, I had a lot of other shit going on in my soul, and it was self-destructive and it was self-loathing and it was frustrating because I was dealing with stuff that I didn't know how to resolve. So I didn't have the energy, but I also didn't have the capacity to give her the love that I wanted to give her. And now as I'm kind of, you know, turning this corner, I'm like, wow, it would be super nice to go to the country club that I went to today with a girl who makes me laugh and like I enjoy being around and she keeps me on my toes. Versus most of the dates and girls that I meet, it's like me entertaining them. And I'm like, this is exhausting. This is what I do for work. I don't want to do that. I want to be the one who also gets to laugh. So
I'm holding out for someone who stirs my soul.
Yeah. So sorry, guys. I'm talking a million miles a minute. I had one beer. I'm like a white girl drunk now. Woo! But it was a nice day, you know? Kind of. I slept in my car because I put a mattress in the back of my car and I was like, I'm going to like camp out of my car. I slept in that shit one night. I felt like I was in a fucking Viet Cong sweat box and my back hurt and shit. I was like, fuck this. I'm going back in the house. Some modifications need to be made there. But yeah, I went to the gym and then I went to this little golf club bar and I was like, man, I need to date a girl because these are the things you do. But we're getting there. I'm waiting for this job to start, which is going to pay me a fuck ton of money. And when it does, I think I can keep things moving, you know? So do yourself a favor. If you feel like you need a break, you don't need to explain yourself, you know? If you know in your heart that like, oh, shit, I can't do this right now. Pull out, withdraw, regroup. Meet the problem. Don't try to fight it. That's the one thing I've learned in the fucking 6 years of pain that I've been in, 7 years almost now. Literally from the age of 30 to 37, which I turn in July next month, have been a fucking suicidal nightmare. And when I started this podcast, I genuinely wanted to buy a gun and blow my fucking brains out. I was unhappy. There seemed to be no solution to my problems. They were ongoing and chronic, and still are, but I'm finding ways to mitigate them. And now they're a little less suicide inducing. So for those of you struggling, I don't have a specific answer for you, but I know it's not about necessarily beating the problems. It's about changing the things you can that surround them to kind of get to a better place to address them.
The more you know.
All right. Good 15-minute rant on what's going on for me. Yeah. Went to the gym, man. I'm lifting some weights, man. It's like, again, I lost a lot of weight. Not happy about that, but I'm starting to build back up and starting to quote Jeff Goldblum in Independence Day, go up there and do your stuff. You know, take him out. You know, in Independence Day, when he proposes the, I'm going to upload a DOS virus to this interstellar alien species computer to destroy them. And then the general's like, all right, well, then what after we drop their shields? Then Jeff Goldblum's like, you go up there and do your stuff. Take them out. Great scene, great line, great movie. Maybe we'll do a TikTok on that. All right. There we go. I didn't say stop drinking. Oh, yeah, I've had a lot of heartburn recently, but I think it's just the fact that I live with my mom and dad who drive me fucking crazy. They drive me crazy because of their just, like, they just live in their own world where, like, it's been, like, this has been normal. I've largely gotten over my hatred and vitriol towards them for the situation. Go back and listen to episode 22 of Ouch My 30s, or whatever the fuck it is, when my mom was like, oh, your father who's been in prison your entire life, he's back! He gonna live here, and he's gonna act like it's always been like that. And then that sent me into a spiral of rage, of me driving across the country, fighting Lyme disease, in the process. Thanks, Mom! But, you know, but whatever, I don't give a, it's like, okay, they're idiots. They're idiots. They're both, like, this young, and they act like 21-year-olds from the Bronx in 1985. That's where they stopped developing emotionally, is my feeling. I love them, but I don't particularly like them. That's a fair thing to say, I think. Yeah, so, I'm home for a little bit longer until this next six-figure job picks back up. I'm not being sarcastic. I make a lot of money when I work. I just often choose not to. So, Mom and Dad, if you're listening to this, of course, I love you, but you guys fucking ruined your son, and you seem to, like, not even notice. How do you not notice I lost 20 pounds? You know what I mean? I had strangers on the street look at me and be like, you look gaunt. What happened? You know? Anywho. I gotta give him a little bit of my anger. I'm not gonna pretend it's okay. That's what she does. She just pretends like it's normal.
It's always been like this. You've always had your father in your life.
But again, you know, it's like, and my father, I'm not even really mad at. He's just kind of like a product of, like, just his situation. You know, I look at him and I'm not particularly like, yeah, I'm just like, you know, like, what else would he do? You know, guy did what he had to do, went to prison for 30 years and, you know, now he's here. But my mom was the one who was always, like, orchestrating shit and, like, was in her control to inform me. I don't even give a shit anymore. Whatever. I just need to not be here with my family. All right. Okay, I think we did good. I'm gonna try to do this as much as I can. I just haven't really had much I've been doing. You know, I've just been, like, going to the gym, swimming, and not dating anyone. Which is totally fine. It's totally okay. All right. Well, good talk. I hope you guys are doing okay, too. World's weird. God, I was so obsessed with that submarine. They say that, like, they didn't feel anything, but, like, I don't know. I feel like they had to have. I want them to have known they were about to die. Because there's almost something even sadder in that, or more depressing or undesirable that, like, you know, your last words are like, is there a buffet on the ship when we get back to the... You know, I would have liked there to be, like, a moment of, like, wow, this is it. Goodbye, existence. As we know it. You know, people... Because, you know, the internet's just like, it's okay, they died immediately, they felt nothing. But I'm like, hey, it's... I don't know. Those neurons must have been firing for a couple of seconds. Like, shit! Fuck! Oh, fuck! Oh, my God, we imploded! Oh, blah, blah, blah. I know, I'm a dark soul. I'm a dark soul. And this has been
Ouch My 30s with your host, Duval George Culpepper. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.